Book of Romans, chapter number 10. This past Wednesday night, we preached on the thought of having mature faith out of Hebrews chapter number 11. They were Christians. They were born-again believers like you and I that were ready to throw in the towel. They were ready to hang it up. They were ready to quit because of the trials and the persecutions, the great trouble, the heartache that they faced. Their faith began to waver. Their faith began to fail. Their faith began to falter. And God gave us Hebrews chapter 11 to encourage these Christians. He wrote, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote about men like Gideon, men like David, men like Samson, that because they had mature faith, great faith, they were delivered miraculously, delivered supernaturally by God. But there were some others. There were some others that had this same faith, great faith, supernatural, mature faith. And these others, they had to go through horrible, horrible circumstances. Some tortured, tempted, slain. But yet, in both the categories, their faith pleased our God. Bible says it's without faith, it's impossible to please Him. This morning in Romans chapter number 10, we see a foundation of our faith. Romans, it deals greatly and more than any book in your Bible about grace and about faith. One defined grace, and I know you've heard it, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. All of God's blessings, all of God's gifts, all of God's promises through Jesus Christ. And the author, he's telling us, and we find here this morning that our faith allows us access to this grace. It allows us to lay hold on what grace provides to the believer. The greatest blessing of all, and we sang about it this morning, no doubt, is salvation found only in Jesus Christ. How did we get access to that? How did we lay hold to that foundation? In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace, through faith, are you saved. Our faith this morning, your faith this morning, allows you access to the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. At grace, it's God's gift, and it is a gift. But faith is a gift of God. Faith is God's ability, and it's man's responsibility to have faith. We find here that Romans chapter 10 begins to deal with faith, the foundation of our faith. We know that Jesus Christ, He died. He shed His blood for the ransom of many, for you and I. That was a gift. That was His ability. He was able. He was God. He was holy. But it's our responsibility to believe that and to receive that and to respond to that grace. All that we receive, all the promises of God, all the blessings of God, all the riches of God is accessed this morning through our faith. And I have one question this morning. What is your faith like? What is your faith really like this morning? Do you have that mature faith? That strong faith that is found in Hebrews chapter 11? You want to be saved this morning? If you have a desire and God speaking to your heart, you want to be saved? It's through faith. The Bible says in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You're born again, you're saved, you're redeemed, but you want to be set apart and you want to be sanctified, living a life that's holy and pleasing to God? It's through faith. The Bible says sanctifying your hearts through faith. You want your prayers answered this morning? One way, it's through faith. The Bible says whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you may receive them. All the grace of God this morning is accessed by faith. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. How do we access these riches? Through our very faith. Paul tells us about this faith here in Romans chapter 10. He begins talking about the faith, the foundation of faith. And let me say this morning, faith, it's necessary. It's necessary to have faith to please God. It's necessary to have faith in walking this Christian life. It's necessary for the born-again believer to have faith. Look at with me, if you will, Romans 10, verse number 17. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I made them manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." He begins to talk about the foundation of faith. I see, number one this morning, the object of faith. What is it that your faith is based on? What is it you're placing your faith in? So many people believe, I think, and they say that I have faith, but I think that it's no faith at all. We hear of, in this day and age of self-help and self-ability, about positive thinking, and we hear about being optimistic and a hopeful outcome and having a confidence in the future. That positive thinking this morning is not faith. Hoping for the best, looking and longing for a positive outcome is not faith. It's great, it's good. I believe we all should have that positive mental outcome aspect, but that's not faith. Let me say this morning, faith is no better than what we place the object in. Our object of faith. What is the object of your faith? Misplaced faith this morning is wrong. Placing our faith in a positive mental attitude is misplaced faith. The object of our faith. This morning, the object and the basis, the foundation of our faith is on the Almighty, thrice holy, righteous, just God. He's the object of our faith. Romans chapter 10, verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." You know, there's nothing mystical. There's nothing magical this morning about having faith. Concerning our faith, the object is on the Almighty God, Jesus Christ. I've heard it all my life, and I was talking to my wife a few days ago about this. That saying that our faith can move mountains. It sounds good, and it's good for a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, but that's not true. Our faith can't move mountains. It's God that moves mountains. And in that exchange in Mark chapter 11, Peter and the disciples were bumfuzzled. They were baffled because one evening Jesus walks by, he curses a fig tree, and the next morning he walks by and that fig tree is withered. They were confused and bumfuzzled and didn't understand. And Jesus explains to his disciples, he answered them and said, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God." And then the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, "Whatsoever you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea." It's not our faith, but it's the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 22 of that verse, Mark chapter 11, that we ought to have faith in God. What's your faith placed on, based on? What's the object of your faith this morning? Our pastor, we know, and he said it many times from the pulpit, that his favorite subject is math. Intellectual, smart, engineer for many, many years. But that's not so for me. I had two favorite subjects, PE and lunch. I would come home from school and my parents would say, "Gunn, how'd you do on your math test?" And I'd say, "Well, I think I failed it." "Well, you need to be more positive." "Well, I'm positive that I failed it." Our mental state, our focus in being optimistic and positive is not faith. But having our faith that's based on, rooted, fixed, grounded in Jesus Christ is the basis of our faith. Let me say this morning. A weak faith in the right thing is better than having strong faith than in anything else. It's not the size of your faith, but it's the object of your faith that really counts. I think of that man all through the Bible. All through the Bible, as you look and you read about men and women that gets these blessings, God's riches at Christ's expense, the grace of God, the blessings of God in their life, most of them had small, weak faith. I think of that demon-possessed man. He comes to Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you can do anything for us and have compassion on us and help us." A man troubled for his child. A demon-possessed child. And Jesus looks and says, "If you can believe, all things are possible." The Bible says with tears. With tears, he said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." We've all been there. Well, we've all said, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm trusting. Lord, I'm having faith, but help my unbelief." Charles Spurgeon said, "The weakness of your faith will not destroy you, but the trembling hand will receive the golden gift from God." It's not the amount of our faith. It's not the size of our faith, but it's what our faith is based on. And that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. The quality, the amount, the size does not matter. But it's the object of our faith. And Jesus is that object. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. The Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author. He is the originator. He is the finisher. He is the perfecter of our faith. The object of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Those words literally mean to turn away from, stop looking at everything else, and begin to focus and fix your eyes upon Him. Helen Limmel, I believe she got it right when she wrote that hymn we sing. Turn your eyes toward Jesus and look to His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'm talking about this morning the object of our faith. Forsaking all, forgetting all, stop looking on everything else, our circumstances, and begin to look unto Jesus. Isaiah says, He said, "Look unto Me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else." That's how it all began this morning. That faith, the faith in Jesus Christ that brought salvation, the object of our faith. And this morning, if you're here and you're lost and God's speaking to you and drawing you and there's a troubling in your heart, all you have to do is look to Him, call upon His name, and there'll be salvation. And for those of us that are saved, we need to look to Him to know more about Christ. The song, more about Jesus. Learning Him. That learning of God and looking to Him will be the byproduct, will be faith. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. The Bible says, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Romans 10:11. Whosoever believeth on Him, we just read, shall not be ashamed. What's your faith based on this morning? It's based on Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. But number two, I see the origin of the faith. We talked about this briefly Wednesday night. The origin of our faith. Where does our faith begin? Where is our faith originated? Where is our faith, the inception of our faith? Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we learn of Him? How do we learn to listen to Him? How's God going to give us faith? By hearing the Word of God. Faith this morning, it does not come within us. It does not come with inside. It's not something we concoct. It's not something we muster up. But we find the origin of this faith. It comes by the Word of God. It comes from an outside source. It comes from above. It's a grace. It's a gift of God, this faith. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, to them that have received, to them that have obtained like precious faith. It's not something we produce. It's not something you can muster up. If you want more faith, it's not something you can do with inside yourself. It's a gift of God. Let me say this morning that faith, it's not a blind leap into the dark, but rather it's a small step into the light toward Christ. When we read here, without God's Word, without God speaking, without God communicating, there is no basis for our faith. On Wednesday night, we talked in Hebrews about Hebrews verse number 1, where the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That substance of things hoped for. That hope, word hope, biblical hope. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not a desired outcome. But biblical hope this morning is without a doubt, 100% positive, absolute assurance. We call the second coming of Christ the blessed hope. It's not a blessed maybe, it's not a blessed possibility, but it's a blessed certainty, a blessed absolute, the blessed hope that Jesus Christ is coming again. A blessed hope. That's an assurance. That's a confidence. That's a reality. How do we know that? Through the Word of God. Through the communication of God. In John 14 verse 1. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's houses are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, He said, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We find that this hope, it's not just a wish, but it's an absolute. Faith is an assurance, it's this hope in faith. It's something confident. And if we never hear from God, we'll never have this faith. You know, it's my desire this morning, and every time we come to the house of God, my prayer that you don't hear or see me, or you don't hear and see Preacher Roy, but you hear and you see and you hear the Word of God. Hear His voice. Hear Him speaking. See the high lifted up God. Isaiah, it changed his life forever. In Isaiah chapter number 6, we find Isaiah, his life has changed through hearing and seeing God. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord upon the throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And then verse number 8 says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Do you hear Him speaking this morning? Is He communicating with you this morning? Is He talking? Is He drawing you? The choir saying that He still speaks. I'm glad I serve a God that's alive and well this morning. Still moving. Still working. Still saving sinners. Still speaking to His children. The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. By the Word, Rhema. It's not that word, logos, of meaning the literal Word of God. But it's the communication of God. God speaking and God drawing, God dealing in the hearts and the lives of men and women. Is He speaking this morning? Is He calling? Is He dealing with you this morning? If you respond, that's faith. God's taking His Word. God's taking His promises. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace. And you access them. You lay hold upon them. You receive them only by one thing, and that is faith. He's speaking. Come. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's your faith like this morning? Is it wavering like the Hebrews chapter 11 that it was written to, that those that were going through hardships and trials, the persecutions, faith wavering? Faith failing? Faith begin to falter? What's the object of your faith on? Is it on Jesus Christ? Well, the origin is hearing Him speak and hear Him communicate and you responding. But thirdly, I see the objective of our faith. Why faith? Why does God use our faith? Faith is not something that we consume upon ourselves to get for our own lust. Faith is not something we use to get our prayers answered to fulfill our own lust. One writer said that faith is not getting man's will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. Having faith in God will get God's will done here on earth. We must remember this morning that we're just sinners saved by grace. We're servants of the Most High, servants to the Master. And it's our duty, it's our call to walk and to abide and to live in the precious, perfect will of God. You say, preacher, I don't know about the will of God. Let me say this morning. Living in the will of God, it will not hinder or you won't receive less blessings because of it. But being in the will of God, you can receive all God's riches at Christ's expense. John 5:14. The Bible says, and this is the confidence, this is the faith that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. The objective of our faith. How do we know His will? Because we know His Word. How do we know His Word? Because we know Him. The objective, that's the will of God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, see that then you not walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You say, preacher, I don't know what the will of God is. It's hard for me to understand the will of God and to figure out the will of God for my life. Is He the object of your faith? Are you looking to Him? When He speaks, do you respond and say, yes, Lord? The objective is to be in His will. yielding and submitting to a perfect Almighty God and finding yourself in that good and perfect will. My question again, what is your faith like this morning? God's our objective. The Word, Him communicating, is the origin. But notice lastly, the operation of our faith. The operation of our faith, that's the work of God in our life. We're to look to Him. We're to listen to Him. We're to yield to Him. Now we're called to obey Him. Verse 16, the Bible says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Verse 21, "But to Israel who saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." The gospel, it's going forth. The gospel's being preached. It's going throughout the ends of the earth. But yet many, not all, obeyed. Verse 21, but concerning Israel, he said, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. A contrary people. A contrary people that's not obeying His words or just doing just the opposite. This morning I think you would agree that God has stretched out His hands to you and I for a long, long time. He's graced us and He's given us salvation. He's blessed our families and our church and our country. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Son. He's given us salvation. He's given us His promises. He's gave us eternal life. He shows us love. We sing about it. God's been good to us. He's stretched forth out His hands to us all the day long. But yet, why? Why would His children, why would you and I be disobedient and a gainsaying people? Israel were. God dealt with them. He was good to them. He had blessed them time and time again. But yet, the Bible says they were disobedient and a gainsaying. They were contrary, doing the opposite of what God desired for them. For 246 years, God has stretched forth His hands out toward America. He's blessed America time and time again. But the day and age and hour we live in, we see it like never before. You see a rejection, a disdain, a refusal to listen and to obey the Word of God. Paul said, "For the time will come." The time has come. That they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. A disobedient, gainsaying people, doing opposite what God desires them to do. This morning, in closing, if your faith hasn't changed your life, if your faith hasn't got down into your heart, if the faith that God gave is not causing you to obey the Word of God, don't tell me you have faith. James said, "Faith without works is dead." You know, this morning we don't work, or our salvation is not based on works, but we work this morning because we're saved. Obeying the will of God. Obeying the work of God in your life. Obeying God's Word. God said, "I've stretched out my hands all the day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people." Let me say, when you believe, when you have faith, when you look to Him, when you listen to Him, when you submit and yield to Him, when you obey Him, faith is produced. Don Moen, the hymn writer, said, "Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." I said earlier, faith does not come within us, but faith comes from above. Romans 12:3. We find that God, He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith this morning Just like salvation, it's a gift of God. And just like salvation, you can choose to accept it. You can choose to inherit it. You can choose to believe it. Or you can choose to reject it. What's your faith like? Do you want more faith? Do you have weak faith? Or you have that strong faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Look to Him. He's our object. When He speaks, respond. Yield to His will. Yield to His call. And obey the work He has for you in His life. The faith we desire to have. Let's stand this morning. Annalee, you got something you can help me out on the piano with? Father, we want to thank You for Your blessings. We want to thank You, Lord, for this time around the Word of God. Lord, we want to thank You for all the riches by Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess and we admit this morning that You have been good to us. You've blessed us beyond measure. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's any among us in this congregation or listen to us by the way of internet, Lord, that's lacking faith and are struggling and is going through those things in life where their faith is wavering and their faith is faltering. Lord, that You would help them. And Father, let them focus upon You. And Father, as You speak, let them respond and let them obey Your perfect and good will. Lord, I don't know the needs of the congregation, but I'm thankful I serve a God that's able, able to help, able to render, that's still stretching forth His hands to a people that He loves. Lord, I pray as You speak this morning, thank You that You're still speaking. Lord, we would respond in the way that You'd have us. Have Your will done this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know your need this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, my faith is lacking. My faith is wavering. I need more faith." Look to Him. When He speaks, respond. I don't know the will of God for you and for your life, but just yield to it. Jesus Christ, He's the object of our faith. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar is open.